I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. 2 years ago, the Idaho legislature passed a new law that makes changes to the way the Gem State manages wolves. And these changes are sparking controversy among many conservationists. Back in April, Dallas Gudgell made a plea to Interior Secretary Deb Haaland to put wolves back on the endangered species list, citing the hundreds of wolves that were killed in Idaho in 2021 and 2022. Gudgell is Policy and Tribal Outreach Coordinator for the International Wildlife Coexistence Network. Gudgell is joining us now, along with Suzanne Asher-Stone, the Director of the International Wildlife Coexistence Network. And a note to our listeners right now, we will be talking about some sensitive topics revolving around the hunting of wolves, so just be aware of that as we move forward. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hello.
Well, our pleasure to have both of you on. Suzanne, let me start the conversation with you. Why are you in Dallas making this plea to Secretary Haaland?
Well, under the Northern Rockies Wolf Reintroduction Agreement, so the plan, Idaho was one of three legs of the metapopulation that was supposed to be established here. And Idaho has better habitat, all the three, has the best habitat for wolves. So with the state of Idaho now making unlimited, unregulated killing of wolves based on a plan that establish a set of cap at only somewhere between 350 to possibly 500 wolves across the state, that basically takes apart that third leg of the stool. And it has a serious impact on the population, not only for Idaho, but Montana and Wyoming and the rest of the Northern Rockies interconnection as well.
So Dallas, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is looking for source wolves for their restoration plan. And I believe that you've said that Idaho is not willing to participate. So can we start with, first off, what is a source wolf?
A source wolf is a place where they can grab or remove wolves and translocate them from one location to another. In other words, bring them from Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, to Colorado for their restoration and reintroduction program.
Okay, but Idaho says they don't want to participate in this.
Idaho has been very clear with a letter to the Fish and the Parks and Colorado Parks and Wildlife that they do not. Idaho is not going to give any wolves to the restoration efforts in Colorado. And I feel that is really counterproductive to restoration, but it's also really, you know, talking about killing, you know, 1,000 wolves in Idaho based on the new plan, reducing the population down to 350, which is not a viable population for the carrying capacity of Idaho, is, and then just, you know, go ahead and killing all, you know, that many wolves up to 1,000 perhaps, and not allowing Colorado to use the source wolves for their reintroduction.
Okay. So Suzanne, can you talk a little bit about the changes that Idaho's wolf plan, this was passed in 2021. So what's different and how is it then impacting Idaho's wolf population?
Yeah, Gemma, we knew that Idaho would be tough on wolves, but this is just so far above and beyond what we anticipated the state doing to the population and to wolves individually. So they have completely removed all protections from wolves. They can be killed 365 days of the year, trapping, hunting, snaring. They also are doing aerial gunning of packs. And it's not even tied to like livestock conflict or issues. So it's just simply trying to, you know, eradicate as many wolves as possible. And, you know, with, I think most people, regardless of how they feel about wolves, they would just be appalled by what, you know, type of torture, brutality is happening to these animals. Some of them are not even old enough to have their eyes open yet, and they're being drug out of dens, killed for bounty, crushed under people's boots because they're too young to be just shot. There's been, it's horrific if you look at what the data shows of what's actually happening to these animals. And, you know, and no animals should be treated like this. It's just unforgivable, I think, that Idaho is allowing this to go on. And it really speaks to the undermining, underlying hate that they really, some people have for these animals. And it's so unjustified because, you know, if you look across the state, we have 2 million cattle in the state, right? At last year, we had 30 confirmed livestock cattle losses to wolves in the state, across the entire state. And, you know, even if you say that there's few that, you know, some that we didn't find, the most generous of that would put that number at closer to maybe 200. That's still 0.0001% of the cattle population in the state. So this claim that Idaho's wolves are somehow out of control and need to have this kind of brutality in order to control the population is just simply not true.
But on the flip side of that, let's say that they are out of control, right? Dallas, as you mentioned, this source wolves, right? Why then would Idaho not say, okay, come take some of these wolves off of our hands, so we're not killing them and we're handing them over to other states that want to do restoration work?
And that's what doesn't make sense in the long run, is that if you're wanting to get rid of wolves, why is killing them the only option? You could definitely use these wolves as source wolves for Colorado's restoration. I know that Colorado, we're working with Colorado Parks and Wildlife as well, and they're looking for source wolves just about anywhere they can find them in the Northern Rockies. And I believe I know that they had talked to the new director of Idaho Parks Fish and Wildlife Department, and said that they're in negotiations with the Nez Perce tribe for potential source wolves on ceded territory. So it doesn't make any sense, especially wolves in that northern part of the state in the Lolo District, that where there's actually no cattle conflict. And so it would make a lot of sense to use wolves where there's no conflict, and these are well-behaved wolves, and why not allow them to have a fighting chance in Colorado rather than just kill them here in Idaho?
So, Dallas, I know that you wrote in your op-ed that Secretary Holland could put wolves back on the ESA list immediately. So, how exactly would that work?
Well, in the final rule that Suzanne mentioned, April 2nd, 2009, for Northern Rockies gray wolves, issue 31 says they will immediately pursue emergency relisting of wolves should a state change their regulatory framework for unregulated taking of wolves. Well, Idaho has changed their regulatory framework. Unlimited taking, unregulated taking, 365 days a year. That is cause to emergency relist Northern Rockies wolves. And what that would look like, there would be a 240-day sort of ceasefire. There would be protections for Idaho's wolves, Rocky Mountain wolves, for 240 days. And it would allow the state Fish and Game Department to adjust their management plan to an actual reasonable management plan that would cause wolves to begin to thrive again, like they did under the management of the Nez Perce tribe for 12 years. And I think that that's probably one of the best protections for wolves right now, is that emergency relisting. A second protection for wolves right now would be to a volunteer to have them translocated to Colorado.
Suzanne, I know that you've been working with wolves and advocating for them since they came back to Idaho. In fact, I always say I was a baby reporter back then, because one of the very first stories I ever covered in Idaho was when these gray wolves were brought back to the Challis area. I mean, I remember them being released. So it's always been fascinating to me to follow this, because I remember the controversy of the wolves being reintroduced. Right, back in the mid-90s, and
Yes.
now here we are, where it's become a free-for-all. And how are you feeling then about where we are, in this process? Because there have been times where I just wonder, has it been managed properly? And I'm not trying to place blame on anyone. It's more like, it's sometimes difficult to be that forward thinking when we're looking back 30 years, if that makes sense.
Yeah, then we were worried back then because Idaho's plan called for the removal of all wolves by any means necessary. But then the state made an agreement with the federal government that they'd comply with the rules for delisting, and they failed that. I mean, that completely failed it 2 years ago with the passage of Senate Bill 12. So I wish we were wrong. I wish they had kept their word and managed wolves like they do bears and mountain lions, as they promised to do, but they have not. And it in what's happening to wolves right now is it shouldn't happen to any animals. And that they're allowing this kind of brutality 365 days a year, that young are, the pups aren't protected, the mothers aren't protected, that there's so many animals that are being really over taking days for them to die because of the types of snares and traps that they're being caught in. And it also affects other species in the state. For example, we have some of the few hundred wolverine left in the continental United States. Some of those are in Idaho, and they get, they're just as susceptible to these types of traps and snares. So, it isn't just limited to wolves. We've seen pet dogs killed. In fact, we're not really safe to go out on the public lands with our dogs anymore without worrying that they're going to be caught in one of these thousands of wolf traps or snares. And most people are completely unprepared to be able to get their animal out of one of those traps without before it dies. So, it's gone so far beyond what's reasonable that I think the only answer we have is to allow the NSPERS to step in, to bring the federal government back in and to provide federal protection for these animals again, because Idaho clearly cannot keep their management promises.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.